Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Who knows what the future holds for Key's real rankings? What fan base might say something about him? You drop him right out of the top eight or whatever.
They're going to always say something. That's what fans do, man. You know that. Come on, Max.
No, you just
love call that. A fight, if you call a boxing fight and you don't go for one of the top contenders or something, they mad at you. If you calling a
he's not wrong about that.
Basketball game and you don't go for their team, they mad at you. It's part of the job.
Yeah, you just like jabbing them, though. You like poking.
Well, when you start talking mess, yeah, man, I'm getting ready to put that voodoo on you.
Oh, yeah. We just talked.
I don't care. I'm going to put the voodoo on you. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to mix it up, stick you with a pin, and hope that your franchise never be the same again.
Wow. He's so spiteful, man.
Because there's no need to attack me.
But yeah, you've been attacking their system, their air raid system that you don't like. And it's fine that you don't have to like it. But they are one hell of a team. So the kind of two are meeting head to head right now. That's what's happening.
They're a good football team.
They're undefeated.
That has turned things around.
Yes.
They certainly have started to run the ball better.
Yes.
The defense is playing solid and sound.
Mm-hmm.
But we are all waiting for the shoe to drop so we could certainly.
You're waiting for the shoe to drop.
No, a lot of people are waiting for the shoe to drop. To see, and what I mean by that, it could be a good thing, and it could be a bad thing. A bad thing meaning, oh, told you so. A good thing is they go and pop a Green Bay, and we all go, oh, see, here we go.
I think the only way the shoe drops is if something bad happens to Kyler. Knock wood, that doesn't happen because he was hurt last year. If he stays healthy, those shoes are looking good.
Is shoe drops, is that the right terminology to use? Or is it the bottom?
Yeah, you're waiting for more information to come. That's not good.
Or the bottom fall out.
When the bottom falls out, the shoe drop, on both sides, the bottom fallout is one side. People are waiting for the bottom to fall out for the Cowboys. The shoe to drop for the Cardinals.
Okay.
Come on now.
You just put me on. Okay. I think shoe drop. I'm like, oh, and then Jordan said that's where I go.
Jeez.
What?
We don't often
weave it in.
Yeah. We don't often begin.
Gotta find some way to.
We don't often begin the show with baseball. However, they are playing the World Series.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Braves won game one. Jorge Soler became the first player to ever start the World Series with a home run, and the Braves are up 1-0 now.
They got him in that Acuna trade, right? I mean, that's...
They lost another pitcher, Charlie Morton. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Charlie Morton took a 102-mile-an-hour comebacker in the second inning, left in the third inning, but with a broken fibula. So he took the shot in the second inning, didn't leave for another inning with a broken fibula.
Yeah, because it you know, your fibula, sometimes it's just hairline fracture crack.
Yeah.
And then that pain starts to wear. When people say broke, you think pretzel stick.
Full snap.
In the cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. The cartoons.
So what's the – so
in a lot of cases, it might be better if it were to fully snap than just have a fracture.
Yeah, injuries are like that. So what is – baseball players do not have a reputation for toughness as like football players do or boxers
My nail hurts. Can't go today.
That was pretty.
Why are you looking at me?
That was pretty tough, though.
Well, basketball,
pretty tough.
Basketball and baseball kind of aligns in terms of that.
Yeah, pretty. That's yeah, all. That because it's not full contact.
You guys both don't have to stare at me.
I don't like,
it feels like
player.
You're teaming up on me.
Nah. No. But like football players, pain and violence
we
is
fight
part
through,
of the equation.
We fight through things like getting a scratch. You know, we fight through that.
Really?
Well, that's too much to ask. A scratch?
Yeah, it's like.
Jay, he's being unreasonable.
Shocking.
Now he wants to use the word. Now he wants to use the word bullying, to have the listeners think that I'm a bully. I know what you're doing.
Well,
Jay. I know what you're doing. It's not going to work here. The Atlanta Braves certainly took care of business against the Houston Astros, and
Yeah, come on, Atlanta. Come on.
I'm rooting for Atlanta, too. Like, oh, I'm not rooting against Dusty Baker. I like Dusty Baker, but there's a part of me, I know they've moved on from cheating, like, it's still
Houston.
Part of their DNA, and I don't like that.
No, you
It's me personally. I don't like it.
No, Dusty Baker came in there 2 years ago to clean things up.
I understand.
And now he's gotten them back into the World Series. You cannot root against Dusty Baker. So if you're rooting against the Astros, you're rooting against Dusty Baker.
No.
Yes, you are.
I can compartmentalize.
I'm seeing the same dudes that cheated the Yankees and the Dodgers out of the World Series. Those same players.
Yeah, but Dusty's there, man.
Listen, that's how some people – listen, the fact is Charlie Morton, who was on that Astros squad, by the way, now pitches for the Braves, stayed another inning before he left. What's the toughest thing you have seen in another sport where you're like, damn, that dude has some kind of pain tolerance or so? Like, I was at the Coliseum when Carson Wentz had the leg injury, and he completed another two passes. Whatever I've ever said about Carson Wentz, I've always acknowledged how tough he is. I once saw a Henzo Gracie fight, MMA, where he was in a submission hold. So you tap out, right? Mm-hmm. You're done. Had his arm snapped, like in the cartoons, right?
Like in a cartoon.
Still didn't tap out. The ref had to stop the fight. He's like, okay, that's enough. Like, I've seen some stuff.
Basketball, probably that they came back and played, like, that day or maybe the day. Probably.
Oh, no, or just like, played through it for a while, or you're like, damn, that dude is tough.
I think that won him a lot of credit, street cred, last year was just watching Giannis in that knee. You remember when that knee just kind of went back?
Yeah,
I
mean,
that looked
one.
Bad.
But he left the game. He didn't come
but
back.
He came back the following game.
Oh, came back the following game and balled out. Whatever, yeah.
I thought he missed the last two games after that of that series. I'm trying.
I came back.
My wires
no, he came back. He came back one or two games later.
Yeah,
he came back. He eventually came back.
That looked bad.
In another sport,
but that's different. What Jay just brought up is different. I think Jay, what you brought up is, I'm not questioning it was tough to do it, but it was like that's the kind of injury where he's now going to need surgery, and it turned out, thankfully, not to be as bad as it looked. I'm talking about something where afterward you find out, damn, the bone is broken to something, and he played anyway.
See, I've seen a bunch of it in football, just in general. But you said another sport,
or it could be football. Take football.
Yeah, I've seen guys have broken this and knocked out that and tear this and still play. Yeah. They gut through it and fight through it. I remember as a kid, Jack Youngblood played for the Los Angeles Rams, was a linebacker. He broke his leg, and he played the entire four quarters on a broken leg.
Where people are hitting each other. Philip
Rivers played with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Against the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship
in the playoffs,
game.
Yeah. Muhammad Ali, and you just saw the documentary, Key, you're raving about it.
Yes.
Ali once fought Kenny Norton, who no one really knew about at the time, but turned out to be a great fighter. Mm-hmm. Norton fractured his jaw, and Ali was out of shape, was taking him light, fractured his jaw in the second round.
Yeah, he kept fighting.
12 full rounds, lost a split decision, and Kenny Norton is sharpshooting him on his jaw.
Yeah, I know. I saw the doc. It looked like that hurt, too.
Oh.
I don't know.
On the lighter side, Paul Pierson, Poopgate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was hard to come back from.
Lies, and more lies.
What was that? When he came out in the wheelchair or whatever? When he
no,
in the wheelchair?
Those are two separate instances.
Oh.
Yes.
We need
to do research, more research. But this is like X-Files, Paul Pierce, Poopgate.
All right. Let's talk about some sports now. Because it's going to be tough for the Packers to beat the Cardinals on Thursday night football. We're talking about tomorrow night's game. We knew about Devontae Adams testing positive for COVID. Already a short week. You know, you're on the road. You're missing your best non-Aaron Rodgers weapon. Now they're without Alan Lazard, who was also placed on the COVID-19 list. Let's listen to Aaron Rodgers talking about losing his top target.
There's a little bit of a shock factor for sure when it's Devontae, but we dealt with it last year. We may be slightly more healthy than some of the other teams as far as not having as many cases, but there have been cases here. You know, we've dealt with them. But when I heard 17, I was hoping that it was going to be one of those false positives for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You mentioned he missed his top target. How about his top two targets? And Alan Lazard as well just came down yesterday. He already knew that Devontae Adams was probably not going to play, so mentally he was prepared to do that. They still have a few pieces in place, still have Aaron Jones. They still have 12. And whenever you have 12, you have a fighting chance. Because really for him, his mind is trained as such if 17 is not available to him because he's covered, you go to somebody else. And if Alan Lazard is not there and 17 is not there, you go to somebody else. So what Aaron Rodgers will be doing from a mental standpoint is visualizing those guys being covered. So he will now have to go to other people. And so With that being said, it's going to be tough to beat Arizona at home in Arizona, but it's not impossible.
Jay, as a fan, how do you feel, like just as a football fan, right? Do you feel like, because I'm trying to figure, do you feel like, okay, this for the confidence of the teams going forward, Arizona likely to remain undefeated, that's really good for them? Because I see pressure on Arizona.
Yes.
They're at home. Green Bay is not loaded, not fully loaded. If Arizona loses this game, that's a huge boost for Green Bay, and I think a real shot to Arizona's confidence.
But also it proves the point that when you have an elite-level QB, that keeps your team in games. Like, there's certain quarterbacks, when you're thinking about Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, that, yes, their team could be depleted, but they still have a legit chance to win. And how about the line, even after Lazard, all these guys are out, didn't move. There's still a six-and-a-half-point underdog. It did not move. So Vegas is even betting on the fact that Aaron Rodgers have a chance. Hence why 20-plus teams should be kicking the tires to find ways to get a guy like Aaron Rodgers on their team. It just it confirms that point even more.
Yeah, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, the only other guy I've ever seen like him is Mahomes, who's now done it for 3 years, and already we're like, oh, he's not having a great year. Rodgers has done it for 17 years. It's insane. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So the latest on Deshaun Watson coming up and why a team trading for him would have a huge decision to make even after acquiring him.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Obviously, you're listening to us on ESPN Radio or Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News, your smart speakers, your podcast. Anyway, yesterday, Roger Goodell met with the media and addressed the latest with Deshaun Watson. Listen to the NFL commissioner.
There obviously are other, I'll call it legal approaches that are being made either through civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating also. We don't have all the access to that information at this point in time, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that, being cooperative as we can to make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
So as of now, there appears to be a mutual agreement between Deshaun Watson and the Texans that makes any suspension or use of the commissioner's exempt list redundant, right? If you may say not unnecessary, but redundant, like he's already not playing, right? Even if the league deemed it warranted, because Watson and the Texans have that arrangement. But if Deshaun Watson is traded, obviously that deal is not necessarily in place with another team, so the league would then have to decide whether to allow him to play. Based on what Roger Goodell said Tuesday, sounds like the league might. So if you're an NFL owner trading for Deshaun Watson, first of all, would you even trade for him in the first place? And would you play him right away? That's the question. Key, what do you think? Would you trade for Deshaun Watson? Would you play him right away if you traded for him?
I would probably trade for him, but I got to get all the information as much as I can. As much as I can. If I need a quarterback and he's on our board and all the information that I get checks out the way that we want it to check out, then I would trade for him. because my organization will have everything in place that will be able to withstand the blow that we're going to get. I'm going to check with my wife and check with my daughter and check with my lawyers and my best friends.
And Key, I imagine, managers. Also find the information and see if that squares with something you can tolerate even having
Absolutely.
On your own
but
team.
That's the information that I need to gather because I'm trading for the talent. Now, the other part of the question is, well, I look to play him right away. No, he can't help me right now. That's why I'm trading for him, for my future, because right now the season's over. If I'm going to get Deshaun Watson, the season is over for us. That means we're a bad football team, and I'm looking to 2022. I know trading for Deshaun is going to come with a lot of pressure, both externally and internally, and I've got to now come to a decision on what is it worth. Because let me be honest with you, as an NFL owner, and I'm speaking for all 31, 32 of us, all we want to do is win. That's all we want to do. So you say to yourself, well, the ethics, the morals, blah, blah, blah. Yes, that is correct. But there's been people that have played in this league that have killed people. Okay? Mm-hmm. Honestly. And so when you look at the way these owners think, all they want to do is win. And if it checks out and I can – if it checks out, and I can withstand that blow as an owner now, then I'm going to trade for him because I'm going to get him on the cheap. And I'm not
there will
getting
be some
him at a high
kind
price.
Of, there will be some kind of discount. Now,
absolutely yeah. a discount.
Let me jump in here for one quick second. I like Deshaun Watson a ton as a person. Met him multiple times, spent time with him. As a quarterback, he is exceptional, top five quarterback in the league. As an owner of an NFL team, if I were one, I would not trade for him. I would not do it. This is the year 2021. There have been a lot of things that have happened in the past for the NFL, just like Key has mentioned, that I think have been able to been swept underneath the carpet to a degree that end up going away because it is about winning. I think we are in a new age, a new day. Look at what's happening with Daniel Snyder to a degree. Look what happened to John Gruden. I think the NFL is moving in a different direction, and I think the optics this will bring to your franchise will be something that you would have to deal with. And externally, it would create exponentially more pressure.
There are
on your
two
team
layers.
And your players.
To what you just said, Jay, there are two layers. One, there is the idea of people getting canceled, which is, you know, not just like because they said something you didn't like, but based on bad behavior. And there's the question as to whether people, when they have bad behavior, can be even, sometimes it's criminal behavior, can be redeemed. Do you believe that disqualifies them for ever participating again in civil society and in their chosen profession? Or do you believe, no, people can make yes. up for it? And okay, that's the first question. But then there's a second-ish layer here. This has not yet been dealt with.
That's my
so
point.
First you'd like the person to be held accountable before you even start to decide if you can move on. And this is an outstanding issue, Key, that is unresolved.
Yeah, but remember what I said at the start of the conversation is my investigative team are going to give me the information that I need before I make the decision. If you're an owner and you decide I'm not trading for Deshaun Watson no matter what the situation is, that's your prerogative. I'm trying to bring a championship to my city. So I need to find out all the information and the people that I'm going to spend millions, I'm going to burn, Max. This is what NFL owners in general, they burn money. Mm. They burn it to get to the right answer. When they go build stadiums, you know, they mock up stadiums the size of that desk. I don't know if you've ever seen the mock-up.
Yeah.
They will spend $30 million
on the mock-up
damn model.
Yeah.
They burn money to get to the right answer. So what I'm saying is I'm willing to burn whatever it takes to get that dude for me and to get the right answers so I can get that talent on my team and win. Mm. Because I'm trying to bring a championship to my city. Now, if it checks out that it's something whole way different than what we really think, then of course you don't take it.
Yeah.
Of course you don't.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting. The offers will tell you what exactly. The reconnaissance that they have, the intelligence they believe they have on what the outcome is going to be.
Not necessarily.
But if the offers are multiple firsts, that means they think you're going to play in the not too distant future, right? And if it's if you start hearing a second round pick and something else, you're like, oh, they think it's more like a lottery ticket. All right. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. So why would he take why would he take the 20th best job in all of California?
Wow.
Who said that?
Evan set me up.
That's a jab.
Yeah, Evan set me up. Evan wrote me this line, and I read it without.
Them asses don't even have a college football team in Hofstra.
It's a good line, though. It is a good line.
No, but we did develop the best wide receiver in Jets history.
That's after this. Oh, Evan's on fire today. Shots at Key.
I guess you did develop it.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We'll get to Mike Tomlin and the SC rumors in just a second. Here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. First, it's time for Straight Talk with Dominique Foxworth, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What's going on, Dominique?
What up?
Check this out. Tom Brady with Peyton and Eli on defensive players when he was on Monday Night Football. Listen to this, Neek.
In the defense, would you give them any credit for being, you know, smart enough to figure that out, you know, jumping? No, I wouldn't. I mean, believe me. Have you ever been to some of those defensive meeting rooms? I mean, you wonder why they play defense, and after about 2 minutes, you go, yep, they can never be an offensive player. So, you know, defense is kind of like a dog chasing a car. You know, just get the guy with the ball.
Now, are they right, Neek? Are they right? You're a defensive player, a Harvard man. Are they right?
So we're stupid?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Jeez.
I mean, I can't argue with the complexity of learning the offensive playbook and learning the defensive playbook. It's obviously much more difficult to learn the offensive playbook. There's a reason why they're in their room. There's a reason why we're in our room. They soft.
Oh. So in other words.
Fire back.
So in other words, on the whole, he might be right about the offensive player's intelligence. But, for example, if you are an intelligent defensive player, you have that and the toughness.
I'm saying that they ask them to learn more complicated things. Doesn't mean that we can't. It's just not required of us. They don't ask them. Maybe one or two get in there. Hines Ward, maybe a guy like that. A big, tough receiver. T.O., these type of guys, they might stick their nose in there, get dirty a little bit.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, did you?
No, I don't need to.
Just happened to omit his name.
To, As I say, I don't need to justify my ability on the field.
Yeah. You were a physical tight end.
All you got to do is put all you got to do is hey, look, all you got to do is put in the film.
That's it.
I don't need to.
Yes.
No, I mean I'm not going to win a debate with Tom Brady about just about anything. So, I mean, he can say what he wants. The man got all the championships. I don't care.
Defensive
see me
players,
in the streets, though.
I played with one of the smartest defenders in the history of the NFL in both academic as well as on the field, and that would be Derek Brooks, a guy who holds a master's degree. So, yeah. I understand what Tom is saying. See ball, get ball. I get it. 100%, but there are a handful of defensive players that are very smart.
I mean, I played with Ed Reed. Chad Bailey's the same way. There's lots of guys. So, I mean, there are some dudes. Oh yeah,
I can't get right.
There are some guys where you just point and you be like, that guy get him.
We
construct defenses around like we're not gonna make this dude think. Let him do his thing.
The brown thing that he's carrying. Follow
did
that.
It. You did get say it. Handful. You say yeah, handful.
Who are the better athletes?
Well, handful. Yeah.
Who are the better athletes on offense or defense?
It's about the same. It's the same.
I mean, I think the difference
he probably
could have
played receiver. Mm-hmm. He probably can't catch is the thing. But he probably could have played receiver, but you got to be able to catch the football. And a lot of dudes that play defensive back can't catch.
Yeah, on the one hand, that's true. Maybe you need more skills. On the other hand, the defensive player has to follow that offensive player around.
Can you catch?
I mean, not at receiver level. No, I'm not going to sit up here and lie.
Ball skills, but at a certain level.
So, I mean, it's just about the time. So
Diggs can catch.
Yeah, he played receiver. When I came out of high school, there were a couple teams that wanted me to play receiver. And had I played receiver all the time, that changes your – like, you get accustomed to tracking the ball, get accustomed to catching the ball. As a DB, every time you catch the ball, it's a surprise. Unless you are at a top-level cornerback where every time you step out there or safety that you might get the ball, like, when it comes on you, it's a shock. So, like, turning up your hands, catching, like, that's a tough thing to do. But as far as athleticism is concerned, the defense, I think, is more athletic because you go down to the lineman. That's when the difference makes.
There's not much difference
between receivers and corners, safeties and running backs and tight ends.
But the O-line, yeah. D-line, yeah.
But O-line, D-line, the athletes on D-line, and then you got a quarterback
out there. Way better athletes on D-line than is on O-line.
Quarterback ain't always an athlete either. So, like, that drags down your average athleticism. Yeah. So.
Then it also is like, what are we saying when we say athlete? Like, the receiver who also has the ball skills and all that versus the DB who has to have the athletic ability to keep up with the dude who knows where he's going.
Defensive back, I could go get a guy right now that worked down the street somewhere on South Seaport.
Don't you say it.
As long as he can run, I can make him a defensive back. Because all you got to be able to do is run.
Neek.
Smoke him if you got him.
Neek's eyes just opened as wide as they can this time of morning.
If you can run and I got man-to-man, that's all I need. Follow that dude everywhere you go, man.
Get him, Neek. I'm going to have my oatmeal. You guys take the second.
I mean, I can't. There's nothing to argue with there. It's just so outrageous.
How so?
So
if you can run, you can play DB.
The ability to change directions and accelerate. Well, like, that's not a dude off the street.
But we've seen some stiff dudes play DB.
Yeah, we've seen some stiff dudes play DB, but they stiff for NFL stiff. You said you're going to go get a dude off the street.
That can run. No, I said can run. I didn't say.
That's the one requirement. He just has to be able to run.
Well, because.
Oh, God.
Because, okay, so I'm a be a scout for Neek. For Dominique, he can run. We're not asking him to stick his head. When that tackle pull, no, I don't need him doing that. I need you to cover 19. Wherever he goes, you go, okay? Mm-hmm. He can obviously change directions, but the unique thing for him is he got to be able to run. That's all I'm saying.
It separates people. I agree with you, but I think you also speaking from a point of a guy who was a number one overall pick where they show up, you show up, and they're like, this man is special at this. You can do that. When you're not that, you got to stick your head in there. You got to do all the dirty work or you are going home.
Yeah, but if you can run.
Yeah, I mean, it changes things. If you can run, they feel more confident and comfortable with you out there. But, I mean, off the street?
I was disrespectful.
He going to go get the dude.
I was going to let you answer. I mean, off the street was the one phrase that really stood out to
me. I don't even know where to start.
Hey, Max, you want to play? Can you run?
Nope. I cannot run. Nope.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, if you can run at world-class, basically almost sprinter level.
But you'd be surprised.
And also
be
tough enough.
You'd be surprised people that's out there that can run, though.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. take off their shoes and get on the concrete.
Look at Dominique's size. Look at your size, Key. Yeah. So he also obviously has to be exceptionally tough.
I mean, this is you get different.
He going to let me go around him and jump on my back.
Were you a pile inspector?
What's that?
Oh, this is my favorite football expression.
The pile inspector.
Were you just standing around?
Yeah.
You can't be because the offensive linemen, they get bonuses.
One of them dudes that tackles and he run up on the tackle.
Yeah. I got you. I told you I couldn't be. I had to play safety for six games in Denver. I had to play the nickel. And you see my little self in there playing nickel. You know what they was doing? They was running the ball at me, and I stick my nose up in there.
He probably was more of a JOP guy, jumping on the pile to get the assist.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
You said watch the tape, so we can bring up that tape too.
He also was at Harvard, so he's smart enough maybe to jump on the pile in addition to everything else. Speaking of something else outrageous, Dominique Foxworth here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. On Monday, Carson Palmer told Dan Patrick that Mike Tomlin was a name floated for the SC opening. Here is the Steelers head football coach responding to those rumors.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? Anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
You know what my favorite part about all that is? You hear the degrees of anger. First he says, that's a joke to me, right? And he's already not happy with it. And then the next degree is, why would I even entertain that? It occurs to him, like, wait, what are you asking me? And then finally, he's like, not only today, he's done addressing it. It was in by degrees that he got there, like, what are you asking me? The head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's won a Super Bowl, and under no circumstances, including losing his quarterback, has ever been under 500.
Yeah, can I say something very quick? And then I would say I would love to hear Neek and Key's POVs on this. But it's hard for a black football coach to land jobs. It's even harder for them to keep them. And I feel like you heard a lot of that in Mike Tomlin's voice. You heard that. Like, oh, now you guys are trying to put me on a different collegiate job. When I'm up here doing what I need to do for the Steelers, that's what I heard in his voice.
Yeah, it sounded like when he started naming other coaches, that's what he was saying. It's like, I'm a Super Bowl champion. They're Super Bowl champions. We don't just go around talking like when former Super Bowl winning coaches, if they do lose their job, you're talking about them for other NFL jobs. And he's not even like someone who we'd be considered as losing his job. Like, that's just not something that happens. And to ask him about it feels ridiculous. But I agree with him on everything until he said there's not a big enough blank check in the world.
One? Did I mention it was Harvard Business School?
I don't think College Boosters is going to write the type of check that it would take to get a Mike Tomlin. You know, it's a budget at some point. You know, I'm sure you guys are sitting at the edge of your seat waiting to hear what I have to say because it's my alma mater.
Yes, we are.
I mean, he doesn't want the job. I don't think we were going to offer him the job, and I don't think we are pursuing him. So I get what Mike Tomlin is saying. When you look at it on the surface, he's a professional coach. This is what he's been doing. He hadn't coached in college since I think he was at Cincinnati back in like 97 or something like that. You know, it was a long time ago. If he became available, he wouldn't even need, I mean, it would be like, who's sending the jet? They couldn't book the runways fast enough. So it wouldn't, you know, it's just
I'll give you every coach in New York from all the teams. Yeah. You can have Thibodeau and Nash and Boone and Saleh, and I'll give you Joe Judge. I'll give you every coach from every sport in New York for Mike Tomlin.
And I could understand why Carson Palmer would mention his name in a situation like this because he's a fun guy. He's young enough. So I could see where he would mention a name. I could see that. I mean, because he's fun.
Yeah.
He's fun. And it all started because of Carson. If Carson doesn't mention his name, nobody's even having that conversation because he's not going anywhere.
But I think that's what his point is. It's about the perception. It's like they'd love to have Bill Belichick. You're never going to say that name. Like, they'd love to have Andy Reid, but no one's ever going to say that name because it's the perception of Mike Tomlin, I think – is at least this is the thing that he's presenting, and he doesn't say it explicitly, is like no one mentions Sean Payton for college jobs, and Sean Payton hasn't been as successful as Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is like maybe Harbaugh is the only other guy who is like in his class. Belichick's a class above everybody else. No one talks about NFL coaches with that much success saying in a season that's going okay, why don't you go back to college?
Well, let me try to play doctors to a degree about why Carson Palmer would, and this is only me thinking, I don't have knowledge. I'm just thinking. Troy Polamalu played for Mike Tomlin, right, and played with Carson Palmer. There's a connection to Pittsburgh. Juju's there. SC is a connection. So I'm sure Carson has had conversations with them, like, oh man, what you think about Mike Tomlin? You think he would ever come to college?
Yeah.
And that conversation came up because he's the only person that even mentioned Mike Tomlin going to college. Nobody else mentioned
it. You're a good alum because you're looking out for your man. That's real nice of you. Because every other coach in the league, I mean, SC is a pretty good football program. There's SC guys on a lot of other teams in the league.
Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the marquee franchises in worldwide sports, the most storied, among the most winning. And I'll say this about when he said, no one's mentioning this guy or that guy, who are white head coaches, right, with championships. They're... whether or not
looking at it like though.
But
man,
I think
I'm not looking at it black and white, and if he was a black coach versus a white, I'm not even looking at it like that because I don't believe, and this is where the good alum does come into play. I don't believe that Carson Palmer mentioned
he thinks
Mike Tomlin is on the hot seat.
I don't know.
But wait a minute.
That doesn't mean that Mike Tomlin doesn't think internally.
Exactly. I think there is a sensitivity. Like, for example, even if someone would have said about a white athletic quarterback in college, maybe he should play receiver. Oh, see, I saw. But there's not the same history of an attempt to make white quarterbacks play receiver.
Yeah, but I don't think Mike Tomlin was thinking of it as
maybe
coaches. They don't ask. Well, I don't think he was thinking of it like that. He was thinking of it as successful coaches that are in the NFL.
Why are they using his name? Yeah, I mean, and not so to the other
Carson
name.
Palmer
right,
used
so,
his name.
No. I my argument would be in that case, and there's plenty of issues of race that we could talk about that are more overt than this one.
Of course, with you on the show.
So, I mean, we don't have to use this one as one to talk about, but I felt like that's what Mike Tomlin was pointing us because it feels to me like maybe it's not conscious, but there's something unconscious that's happening when you look at this guy that you feel differently about him than you do other guys. 100%. So, like, I'm not saying that Carson Palmer or anybody who will mention him. I know Ryan Clark said it too. Ryan Clark said he would pay anything to get Tomlin to come to LSU. But I just feel like there's something about the way that he is viewed is not commensurate with the things that he's accomplished.
And that overall may be true.
Right.
Because people have said things in the past that are on shows about his style in which he coached and all those sort of things. I'm talking about this one instance with Carson Palmer. Yeah. And that's all I'm saying.
I can't climb.
And I don't think that Mike Tomlin, Neek, was referring to it as I'm black. They won't ask the white coaches this because, to be honest with you, they do ask white coaches that when their names come up.
I say it's accumulation of all that stuff. It's
but
all
their
that
names
stuff
don't come up. If you have the success that Mike Tomlin has, nobody is talking about you going to college. And I don't need Mike Tomlin's permission to go ahead.
Here's what I'm going to say, though, Neek. I don't want to say you wrong about that. You are right, but there's a lot of instances. I can go all the way back to when John Gruden was coaching in Tampa, and he won the Super Bowl. Every single year, his name came up for the Tennessee job. Tennessee, 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 Tennessee. And he was an NFL coach that had just won a Super Bowl. So it is.
It's not right, but point is it could happen the other way. Just like a white quarterback, they might say, hey, maybe you should play receiver. I was just watching. I was at the screening last night of
I'm
the
still
Colin
waiting
Kaepernick.
For some white corners, man. You can't tell me none of these slot receivers can't play corner in the league. Like all these slot receivers.
Last great
at home.
One, Jason Sehorn. but listen. Overrated. I was at the Colin Kaepernick screening last night for his new show on Netflix, and you know it gets into, of course, his youth. And what do you think they asked him to do at a certain point when he was in high school? Even though according to the series, it's a dramatic series. you know, he was clearly the better choice at quarterback. Maybe you can move positions. So there will be a sensitivity to that is different. It is listen, the expression is hustling backwards if you are already one of the most successful coaches in the history of American team sports. For one of the most successful franchises, you're 3-3 this year, and you have no business being 3-3, and they're asking you about college. Yeah. He did the slow burn on that one. By degree, he's like, wait a minute, they're asking me this? What? Why would you ask me this? I'm not addressing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think your point, like, Key brought up John Gruden. I don't remember that, but it sounds like it's possible, and you might be right. Yeah. But maybe I'm hypersensitive, but I mean.
Yes, you are, sir.
I'm a black dude in America. I'm sorry.
We're asking at Key JMS.
Oh, no.
If Mike Tomlin becomes available, would you want your team to fire your coach to hire him? 888-729-3776. Be a part of KJM on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line 888-SAY-ESPN, presented by Dr. Pepper. Much more on KJM next, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.